Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful, naturally.
Of course. I think I would fall out of my chair if you came on a Saturday morning and said, I said, Faye, how are you? And you would say, oh, I'm terrible. I would fall.
Well,
over.
It's Labor Day weekend. Remember that.
I know. Yes. I do remember that.
All right, so it's more time away. Everybody be playing, having fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the last thing of the summer. And remember, I've been talking about September for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's fall's coming. Yeah. I'm not sure it's coming. It's pretty hot out.
The calendar says it's coming, but you go outside and it's not. Now, one thing that I did see, though, all the stores that I went into the other day were setting up all their Halloween displays. So the candy is already out. I've already seen that, which makes me kind of feel that, hey, fall really is here, despite how it might actually feel outside. It's here.
It's going to be here and stay.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want it to go away once it gets here.
I know it. Once the Halloween candy comes out, you know, now we can settle in for at least the next several months, because after this, then we have Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then New Year's and then and all that. So we're getting into the best time of year or the best season.
Do you think we can play all the way through this?
Yes. I do.
You know, a little candy. More desserts.
Right? And all the fair food and all the, I mean, this is literally the best. This is the best time of year.
Well, that we haven't even talked about fair food. And the next week we're going to find out who won, who submitted all the good food, what it consists of. We'll know the whole story, I think. I think it's next week when they tell us this.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to this. I've been waiting for this since last year. I was blown away at some of the things that people came up with on the list. And I'm like, how do people even think of these things?
And, you know, they work all year on this, on these recipes, on this, making something that nobody else has.
Yeah.
And it's just... I wonder what the prizes are on that.
I don't think I know. I'm not sure. I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know if it's a blue ribbon or if you get cash.
I don't know.
It's a good question.
It is a good question.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. Or maybe they just say it's the honor of having, you know, the best of the best.
And Big Tex is getting all new outfit. All new.
What?
Oh, my gosh. It's fabulous. Biggest pair of pants that he's ever had. It is huge.
Really?
And Levi Strauss is doing the honors.
Oh,
and it is fancy. He's getting a new Stetson. He's getting new boots.
Oh.
I mean, he's going all out.
Nice. I didn't know and that.
I think the pants are size 51, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, for a 20-foot-tall guy, you know, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. If I was...
I mean, can you imagine putting those pants on?
No.
It would take some time.
It would take some time. Yes, it would. Wow.
And they said it's the biggest pair of pants they've ever made.
Wow.
Even he has not had any this tall.
Really?
Yes.
I
saw a picture of them. They're fancy.
Oh, I'll have to see a picture now. I haven't actually seen them. I didn't know that. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. They've already put that out. I saw it and saw the Stetson, the boots. And they're really diking him out. He will be fancy looking.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yes. And I didn't think it was Levi Strauss that's made the pants every year. I was thinking it's another company. I haven't checked on that. But I know Strauss has got the contract.
I didn't even realize. I guess I just, in the past, never really thought about it before. I don't know if they had the contract or not in the past.
Well, I don't remember, but I know that he'd wear the same pair for several years. But he's not this year. It's going to be all new.
I would have thought.
Levi's are really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe it's a size 51.
For
we should be so lucky.
Yeah. For somebody that tall to have a 51 size pants, that's not bad.
It's not bad. You know, when you're 20 foot tall, you can do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, people are going to pay attention.
Yeah, you can't miss that. You do anything, and people are going to notice. Like Jack, like what is it? A Jack and the Beanstalk? I think.
Wow. You think he was taller?
Oh yeah, Tex is taller than Jack and the Beanstalk, I would think.
And you remember several years ago when it burned?
Yeah.
And they had to start over, new face, new body, knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things has happened to him over the years. And then if you remember, they fired the announcer several years ago. Was it 12 years ago? I don't remember for sure. And he had the best voice. Everybody loved him. And I'll correct that. The corporation fired him. And they got a new one. And it took a long time for everybody to get where they liked his voice.
Why did they
fire
him?
It was a lot different.
It was a lot different. I don't remember why they changed.
I don't remember what the disagreement was about. But they did get rid of him. And he'd been there forever.
Yeah.
Had a wonderful voice.
And they didn't even find somebody that was even kind of close. From what I remember, it was completely different.
It is different. It was different. And when he says, "Hi, folks," you know, big booming voice.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. It was like it was like this. It would almost shake the ground, kind of thing. It'd make the hair on your arms stand up. It's like, there we go. But no,
yeah, and everybody loves it. They little kids love to walk up and see this huge figure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's iconic. People come from I know they come from all over the country, but I feel like people come from all over the world to the Texas State Fair because it's that legendary.
Well, after all, it is Texas.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, land of the free and home of the brave.
Yeah. I saw a guy. There's a guy that I follow on Instagram. I found him, I don't know, a couple months ago, I guess. And he's from, I think, Scotland. And he's come over to the United States and he's like trying all this food. And then he got to Texas and he went to Buc-ee's.
Oh my God.
Had never seen anything like that before in his life. Was blown away. And loved it. It's like,
well,
yeah.
It is pretty spectacular. They have some of everything. And then they've got the beaver.
Yeah.
And he's big and toothy looking. And that would probably get somebody's attention.
Yeah. So I would imagine if people come from other countries for the fair, the Buc-ee's is just the tip of the iceberg. Wait till they get to the fair and the, you know, Big Tex and then the food and all the over the top everything that we do. It's I would love to see a European come over here and see their reaction to it. I think that would be hilarious.
Well, they thought, you know, during the World Cup, they were so shocked about that.
Yes.
And that would just add to it. If they came over for the fair, they'd tell everybody in the whole wide world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they'd say, first of all, you won't believe the Texan we saw at the gate. And then when they went to the livestock show and saw that, it would get their attention.
Yeah, it would. Wow, that'd be cool. That would be really cool to see some people. Because everything in Europe is so small. Everything is like miniaturized, miniature fridges, small cars, small houses. Everything is teeny tiny. They come over here, this, you know, for the people that came over for the World Cup, that's one thing. But then to see the state fair, it's almost like the icing on the cake. It's like, this is just over the top greatness that they'd never seen before.
You know, we've got so many rides are just spectacular.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is just, it's amazing.
And corn dogs, I mean, you start walking through that, you're going to have some of everything.
You have to. You'll get sick. You may end up in a hospital, but it's worth it. you know, you're
worth it just to have all that food.
It is.
It's so spectacular.
Yeah. And most of the time, that's the only time and place that you can get it. It's not like, hey, this is wonderful. Let's go back and get another one next month because the fair goes away. And so you can't just, if they had a store that sold fair food every year, it could be an attraction all on its own. That would be awesome.
And a lot of people, once they eat all this, they're going to remember it the rest of their life.
Yes, they will. They'll take pictures of it. They'll remember it. They'll tell people of it. They'll tell stories. Generations will tell stories. It's one of the things that makes Texas so great is the state fair. And that's another reason I love this time of year.
And another funny thing, only in Texas would you be parking on the lawns and paying people for it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the funniest things in the world.
That's the
Our
best.
Parking runs out, and all these people down there at the fair, Fair Park, they rent out their lawns.
Yes.
I mean, it's like in a movie. They rent out the lawns for real.
Yeah.
And you park in their lawn, and they guarantee to look after your car.
Yeah. They must make a fortune.
There'll be four or five... And just right up in the grass.
Yeah, just piled all right in there.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, we've got DART that now runs down there, which you don't have to have as many cars, but there's still hundreds of cars on the grass.
Oh, yeah. They're all over the place. I bet they make a pretty penny while the fair is going on by letting people park in the grass.
Oh, they do, because, it's, what is it, 3 weeks? Three and a half, something like that.
Yeah.
And every day they're parking cars.
Yeah. All day, every day.
Those people down there are making a lot of money.
They really are. So if they...
I would love to have a concession stand on just one item. Just one item.
I mean, it's
so much money I can't even...
If you'd set up a lemonade stand, you would do fine. Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby.
That's
your phone number
a little old simple lemonade stand. Let's do that next year.
I know.
Let's set us up a little deal and see how much we can make just for the fun.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be so funny.
Sell a lemonade stand. We could even buy some little trinkets or something, or I don't know, stickers. I don't know. We could find something. We have a year to think about it. So
how about Miss Debbie's? We'll sell some Miss Debbie's and name it something else.
That would be. You got to get people going in though, because if you try to sell them food coming out, if they've eaten everything we think they should, they're not going to be hungry for like a month. So you got to get them going in.
What do you think those booths cost?
Oh, my word. I don't.
I'm going to look that up. I'll bet thousands.
I bet they are. I bet you pay a lot.
I bet
but
it is.
Boy, I bet the return on that is well worth it.
People tell me that they leave their regular job when the fair comes. And they go down there and they have their booth and they make a lot of money. They just tell the boss they're going to the fair and they do it.
And then they're gone for 3 weeks.
They're gone for 3 weeks, four. And they make a lot of money and they're happy.
Yeah.
And they go back to work then.
Yeah. Boy, I know it's a lot of work to have a concession stand at the fair and sell food and stuff. But I would imagine not only do you make a ton of money, but I'm sure it's probably a lot of fun, too, just to be around
the
people.
That's what I started to say. The fun is the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And you meet the same people every year that have all the booths, and you can smell all the food all day. And people having a good time, it's worth it.
Yeah. And for the regulars, like the vendors, the regulars, I'm sure they probably, it's almost like a family reunion. You go back every year, you see the other people that had booths next to you, and, you know, it's like, oh, hey, how have you been, and all that. So I imagine it's a nice kind of a family reunion for all them as well, aside from everything else. Oh, I just thought of what we could sell to people coming out of the fair. We could have an antacid booth. We could sell antacids. Pepto-Bismol. Or Tums.
Oh, yeah. I just see this. And see it now.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. But remember, they ask you what you're going to sell.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
When you sign the contract, they say, and what are you bringing to this?
We're bringing the antidote for how bad people will feel after they eat everything at the fair.
That's right. Foot-long hot dogs might do them under.
Yeah, that's true. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. I am hoarse today.
It's probably all the heat, all the dryness outside.
That's what everybody tells me their problem is. But I don't have sinuses. It's just when I start talking, all of a sudden it gets gravelly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible.
I don't think it's me.
We can definitely blame this one on the weather, for sure.
That's right. I mean, it's that time of year.
It is. It is. When it's that hot and dry, I mean, it's like your skin cracks, your voice cracks, it's almost like you can't even like sweat because you're so hot and dry. You can't cry
We've been putting water out for the little animals. We now have 4 baby rabbits that we know about.
Really?
At least a mommy. I think there's a daddy. And they've come to visit us. Then we've got all the cardinals visiting and the blue jays.
Oh.
So we have a lot of things going right now.
Wow.
And they're so beautiful. You know, cardinals are probably one of the prettiest birds in the world. And then we've got the other colors. Saw one the other day I'd never seen before. And then the bunny rabbits came.
Mm.
And they're beautiful. And they're all cottontails.
Oh, really? Neat.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, and they're big. And now the babies are just playing. But the mommy and daddy are pretty darn big for a rabbit.
I'm sure they are. It's neat to see a whole family of them. That's kind of rare. You don't usually see them all together like that.
I know, because a puppy, you know, loves to bark at them. And she did. She jumps on the back of a chair and just starts barking.
Wow.
Because she thinks it's great, you know. She also barks at the TV if there's a dog or a horse on.
Oh, really?
Oh, she goes crazy. She loves them both. And I said, you know, if she ever got out at night, when that rabbit said, she'd be giving it a chase.
Oh, yeah.
Just for the fun of it.
Hey, here's somebody else that's fuzzy that we can play with. Let's run around the yard.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. We're so lucky.
Yeah, you are.
To have all these great animals.
Yeah, it really kind of makes you appreciate the circle of life, and you know,
it really does.
It's awesome. Well, I tell you, if we don't start talking about money, you're going to get some calls on Tuesday after the holiday. Want to know what's going on?
I know
on.
People say, "Hey, I know you had a lot of fun on the show, but we didn't learn anything."
Well, let's
talk about
something.
Money.
Yeah.
And you know what I've discovered this week? People are all in different phases of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got the people who haven't retired. We've got the people that have retired. And then we've got the people that have been retired a long time. And I was told this week, this client of ours said, you know, I've had annuities with Faye all these years, and it's run out. We need a new one. Who would ever thought about that?
Wow.
That would outlive an annuity.
Yeah. I didn't. That never,
I'd never heard of it.
Me either.
Never crossed my mind. I just didn't know you could do that.
Mm-mm.
And so people are all ages when they start with us. Then when they get to a certain point, if they're still alive, then they do need a new annuity.
Hmm.
So anybody that's run out, you know, we'd be glad to work on that for them and get them back in another annuity.
I really didn't know that was possible.
I didn't either, because I didn't realize they could outlive one. I've never seen anybody do it.
Wow.
So they were probably pretty young when they took it out with me. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, had to have been. Wow. Well, that's awesome, though. I mean, it's something to think about that maybe was off the radar for most people.
That's right. And they went to get their picture taken. Well, it just happened it was my granddaughter taking the pictures.
Oh.
And they said, we're from Midland and we've moved to Azle. And she said, do you listen to the radio shows out there? And they said, oh, yes. They said, do you know Faye Bagby? And they started laughing. They said, we're a client of hers. So that was pretty funny.
That worked out well.
I mean, you wouldn't think from Midland to Azle that I would have a client, would you?
Well, I bet you have more in more places than you probably think, as far as spread out.
I think
out.
I do, because we have people in Weatherford. We've got people on the other side of Fort Worth going south to Burleson.
Mm.
And so when people retire, they do leave Midland, most of them. And we always forget that.
Yeah.
So they listen to us here also.
I bet you probably got plenty of clients that have they started, then they retired, moved someplace else, and probably never even have thought to say anything about it because so much is done over email. Yeah, you know, you get new policies,
and they all have policies or computers to do their policies.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was interesting this week.
That was pretty cool. What else?
But anyway. Well, I don't have any new policies. I'm finishing some up. But, you know, we've had this guy, and I don't know if I mentioned this last week. We've been waiting for him to sign his contract, and he's died now.
Oh, yes.
We haven't had that happen in a long time. But he was so sick, we kept waiting on him, and now he can't even sign the contract because he is dead.
Yeah. I do remember you talked about that one, and sometimes those do happen. Sometimes things get a little bit, closer than what people think. So
we don't think about that, you know, how sick they really are, and we don't realize that we have to hurry once we start to get them enrolled and to buy their policy. If we don't hurry, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah. It's is it 30 days? So say you get a new policy. If the policy matures within 30 days of signing it, does it go back? Or I know it's a small window.
It goes back to the family.
Okay, all right. But in this
case, some states have a 90-day period, and some have 30.
Hmm.
So it depends which state. And you know another thing. Some states regulate how much you have to pay for their policies. It's strange.
Really?
Yeah. Some states require that they have to get a certain amount.
I didn't know that.
Minimum. Yeah. We've done business in a few of those states.
And oh, wow.
There's a minimum they have to have. Otherwise, you can't buy their policy.
Wow. I didn't even think to ask, but I always just kind of assumed that, you know, whatever they get for the policy is what the bidding pool kind of determines. But I didn't realize regulations.
In all states we do, there is a bidding that starts like Monday or Tuesday, and it'll go for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Huh.
And whoever has the highest bid at the end, it's going to get it, unless, you know, the broker is real friendly with somebody.
How does that affect you? Like when you're bidding on a policy in one of those states that does have the regulations, how does that affect your bidding strategy? Do you still do the same as you would normally do, or do you have to say, well,
almost, but we know we have to start higher up.
Mm.
In other words, you can't start at 50%.
Wow.
Like it may be 60, whatever the guarantee is or whatever. So you've got to get to that point.
Mm. So you have to be at least at the threshold for the regulations.
That's right. Because if you don't, they're not going to let you do it.
Wow. I never knew
and
that.
And there's four or five states that have that. That has a minimum bid. If you don't bid that, you're not buying it. But so, most states, it's whatever you can agree to with the owner of the policy.
So the policies that you're bidding on, they're not just in Texas. They're all over the country. They could come from anywhere.
All over. And we don't usually know what state they're from until we buy it. And then all the internal documents are available.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes.
Huh.
You know what doctors he's using, whether it's Duke University, Mayo Clinic, Sloan Kettering in New York. You find that out when you start reading the doctor reports, they'll tell you. And they may be going to MD Anderson in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And last week, I was on next door, the neighborhood side. There was five people that had serious cancers and were asking for prayer. And this one guy had esophagus cancer. Oh. They've given him 4 to 6 months.
Oh, really? Man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear
so
that.
So he knows he's not going to make it. But he's asking for prayer to maybe extend it a little.
Wow. It's terrible. I mean,
it's sad that cancer is so serious.
It is.
That everybody tells us it's not as serious as it was, but in our realm, it is.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's been a lot of development and a lot of advancement as far as treatments and, you know, medications and things like that, but boy, it just seems like there's so much that's left to go as far as, you know, treatments. Like there's no, it's not like, you know, you can take a pill or, you know, something like that and, you know, everything is fine. It's not like a headache, like you take some Tylenol and you're done. it's interesting. I remember, and I don't know if they'll ever get to this place with cancer or not, but I remember back in the 80s when HIV was first coming out, and that was just automatically, you know, you're in some serious trouble. And then it's gotten to a point where I've seen commercials on TV that they have medications and, you know, people are living with it and living, you know, normal lives and going on about normal business. So I don't know if they'll ever get to that point with this or not. But for now, when people do get to that point, and it's like they're facing something serious, they need to sell their policy, one, so they can, you know, afford treatment, or two, just to settle their estate. And so then they go ahead and put their policy up for bid. Do they put it up for bid or for sale? How does it get in that pool?
They put it up for bid. They put it up, and all the companies that do what we do, they bid on the policy, and our broker that knows who it is, he'll come back and tell us. It's going up by $15,000 each bid, or it's going up $5,000. And he'll tell us about what we're going to have to do to get it.
Hmm.
And so then we have to pay our broker also. So there's two people have to be paid. So you've got to have it really know what you're doing.
Yeah, because you start going over those numbers, and it's no longer a profitable investment, I would imagine, which is probably why.
If it gets unprofitable, we drop out.
Yeah.
And we tell them we can't raise the bid.
Yeah.
But lots of times they'll say, fake, and you put up another $5,000.
So when you're
maybe 20.
As you look at a policy and you're bidding on it, I imagine it sounds like you've got a number in your mind of, okay, at this point, it's no longer profitable. And that includes like broker fees and, you know, anything that you might have to pay in addition. You're taking all that into consideration, right?
That's right. And when it gets to a certain point, you have to say, we can't do it. Or it may be to a deal where, say, we can go up another 20 and we'll be all right.
Wow.
We can go that much.
Okay.
And we'll do it. If we really want the policy, it's really that good. We're going to try to stay with it as long as we can.
I guess
if it's not as good as what the others are, we're going to back down and just say that's all we can pay.
It's just kind of interesting how the whole process works. I know, I assume anyway, anytime people are bidding on something, you know, there is some back and forth. You know, you like if you're negotiating a price of a house or a car or something like that, you know, you start with your low bid. The other party starts with their high bid, and then you kind of meet somewhere in the middle. So I imagine you probably start low because you want to have it as profitable as can be. If they accept it, great. If not, then you have a little bit of wiggle room to go up if you need to try to beat out a competitor bid. Is that right? Am I looking at it the right way? Or
that's right. And, of course, we don't want the competitors to know how much we can go up or what we can stand. And lots of times they don't know which person or which company is bidding. Then sometimes everybody knows everything.
So, because I was going to ask, is it an open bid where the numbers are on a board and you can just outbid somebody? Or is it like, here's round one, it's closed and nobody knows. And then here's all the bids. Here's round two if you want to try to change it.
What they'll do is they'll come back to us and say, we now have a bid of $320,000. Can you beat that? Can you go up more to get it?
Interesting.
And we'll put the pencil to it and see what we can do. Hmm. And then maybe it'll go up twice, and then we say, if it goes higher, we're not interested.
All right. How many times does it come around? Is it usually twice or three or four? How do you?
Oh, three or four times at a time.
Oh.
And each day it may go up 3 points or 4 points or more. We just have to look each day and see who all has went up on us.
Interesting.
But we know within 30 minutes.
Oh, how long does the bidding usually, is it a 2 week?
Yeah, window? Usually it's a 2 week deal.
Huh.
And sometimes people wait to the last second and overbid you too.
Oh.
But then a lot of times they know what they can do and they just bid what they can do on like a Thursday and that's it.
Hmm. So they go in one time with their best offer and if that doesn't work out, they're out.
Yeah, some of them are. Some of them are smaller companies.
Huh.
But there's been two or three dropped out. This last year, they're not even doing it anymore.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, because the last 2 years has been tough. There's just not as many policies as usual. And some of them are not as good as we'd like. And, you know, different things that make it impossible to bid but a certain amount.
Hmm. I know in the past, it's probably been several years, but I remember at one point there were some large companies that took their entire budget and would bid it all in the first quarter. And then kind of after that,
that's
the rest
right.
of the year, do they
absolutely
still do that?
Absolutely right.
Is that
and
still?
They're not even in the bidding this year.
Oh,
I don't know what's happened. They're not even bidding.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they made so many mistakes 2 years ago. You know, the president was fired. They fired a lot of people. It wasn't their money. They were just bidding fast and loose, and everything came down. They wanted it.
Wow.
And they bought it. They bought policy after policy after policy. And the board of directors fired all those people, took over, changed presidents, everything. And they pulled in their horns now.
Clearly.
They found out those policies were long and hard, and they weren't coming due for a long time.
Wow. So they just had no idea what they were doing, it sounds like.
No, but they just saw the money on the table.
Wow.
There was millions and millions. These people had a lot of money, and they hired all these people, and they didn't get experienced brokers. Have to do the bidding.
Jeez.
And they almost broke them. If they hadn't had a lot of money, they would have went broke.
Yeah. It sounds like they made some necessary changes, but maybe they might have waited a little too long to do those changes.
Well, they did wait a little bit long because everybody in the industry knew they could no longer buy policies.
Wow. That's...
They had their hands full.
You know, and it's just like, I don't know, because I know you've been doing life settlements for a long time. And I would imagine there's probably not like a manual or something like that. I imagine probably a lot of it comes down to experience, knowing what to look for, what not to look for, you know, where those smart investments are, which policies to even bid on, data inside the LEs. I would imagine it's probably something that you have to learn over time so that you have that instinct. You have a lot of data, a lot of past experiences. I don't imagine life settlements is something that people can just walk in off the street and successfully do. Is that correct? Or
you need some experienced people in there with you.
Yeah, I kind of thought so. So sounds like they didn't have any. You had mentioned annuities a little while ago. I should ask, are the 17% bonuses still active?
It is. Yes. And they put out a statement yesterday, the day before, about their ability, how strong they were. And they said it was a combined 115 years. I always knew they'd been in business 100, but I didn't know it was a combined deal of 115 years.
Well, that's even better.
It is even better. I mean, they've been around so long. Their policies are legendary. Their assets are. Their ratings are. I mean, there's nothing except good things that I know about this company. And I've represented them 23 years.
Wow.
And I've represented some other companies. They just didn't hold up like this one does. They didn't have the opportunities for investors. You know, the opportunity has to be there. In other words, it's averaged 10% over a 10-year period. Some years it's been more, some less. But the bonuses are just to die for. And we haven't always had bonuses. I can remember the years it was just a straight deal, no bonus. And now we've got 17% up front, so that makes a 17% bonus plus whatever the policy makes. And these are all tax-deferred policies. And if you do something different, it wouldn't be tax-deferred. And that's such a blessing because it grows tax-deferred like 20 years, so you've got more money. Then your taxes are paid when you're not making as much. So that's a good deal all the way around.
Yeah. Any chance to defer
taxes?
You can put
it in a trust. If it's an IRA, you leave it to your wife. You can have a joint one with your wife. There's so many things that are versatile, a lot more versatile than the stock market. And it's never directly in the stock market.
Yeah. And that's an important point, because with the stock market, you could wake up Tuesday and everything could be gone literally overnight. But with an annuity, if that happens on stock market, you have that stopgap. So you don't lose your principal. You don't lose everything that you have. It hits a certain point and then it doesn't go down anymore if something were to happen on Wall Street or something like that. So that's a big thing with annuities.
It has so many good points and safety points. Conservative, conservative.
Yeah.
If people really want to be conservative, annuity is the way to go. People that are fixing to retire, they call me, they want an annuity. They want the money safe. They don't want the risk of up and down.
Yeah.
So it just works for everybody.
Yeah.
You can take lifetime income. There's just a lot of things that are good that happen in annuity that's not going to happen in any other form.
Mm-mm. The annuity is almost like the quiet, conservative investment that just kind of sits on the back burner and makes money and does what it does while you go out and live your life, and you don't have to look at the stock market every day. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night wondering if you have anything left. You don't have to do anything. You just, you're in the annuity and it just does itself and you go live your best life. So I imagine that's probably.
And what I like is you don't have all these brokers that can mess with your money.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's inside the annuity for protection to keep the brokers from playing with the money, because we both know all the horror stories. Yeah. We know that there's some great brokers. We know some that are a little bit fast, and they play fast and loose with your money. And then you go, how did I lose this much? What do I do? And getting it back is a tough, tough deal.
Oh.
Once it's lost, it takes a long time to make up that loss again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all my people that have retired, a lot of them have annuities.
Yeah. I've heard
and
some.
It's working for them.
There were some things on the thing last week that I was reading about consumer confidence is starting to get a little bit shaky, and people are a little bit uncertain with what's going on now all the way across the board. And so they didn't say the words, but they were starting to hint that if you've been partaking in some of the things that a lot of people are making money in right now and have been for the last couple of months, it might be time to start maybe holding back a little bit and maybe offload into some other types of investments. So just something that I heard. I don't know any more than that. So I don't know. It might be time to start thinking about getting into some more conservative investments, like either annuities.
Well, I know a lot of people I've talked to. I ask them, you know, what is your thinking about this? They said, we've been in the stock market all these years, and it's too scary when you retire. They said, it's okay if you haven't retired and you've got money coming in. But once you retire, you need to know that money will be there, and that you can take it when you need it. And that's what I love about an annuity. Once a year or every month, you can take a draw and get the money you need to pay your bills for the year. And you're not paying taxes on it until you decide how much you're going to take out.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, sit there and don't take anything out for a while and just let the interest grow. And they don't need the money right then. And once you do, you know, you're usually 73 and a half before you have to start taking the taxes.
Yeah, good point.
And we have a way also, if you don't have the cash available to do your RMD, we can do like for like, and you don't pay cash. You just do it a different way.
Really?
It works for people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've got a lot of people that have had to do that.
Wow.
They said, we don't have any cash right now in that account. It's all invested. So we set up a different account, and it's transferred like it was cash, but it's not cash. And it works. The government approves that. It's a good thing to do because it saves you all your cash right now. If you're single, you can do this. If you're married, you can do it. You can do it for your children or your grandchildren.
Good point.
There's a lot of ways to do it.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, it's like when people are planning out not only their future, but also, you know, their family and their family legacy, kids, grandkids, getting people set up for college. You know, there's a lot of things that people have to consider, or a lot of people like to consider. They don't have to, but they like to consider other people besides themselves, and there's a lot of versatility with annuities. So, good point. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
You're going to love this. It's Goat Island. Have you ever heard of Goat Island in Texas?
I want to say yes, but I'm going to say no.
There's really two of them. There were two Goat Islands. One was by Lake Livingston, and it no longer has the goats. But we're talking about goats on an island. For
literally.
Real. I mean, literally, that's what we're talking about.
All right.
And the other one is by Point Bolivar and by Galveston. And you have to have a ferry boat to get to it.
Neat.
It's really in the middle of the water. And these goats have been there for years. And they're self-sustaining. But they're down now. There used to be like 600 goats there.
Oh.
And they became famous. And everybody knew about them. You can't buy tickets to it. It's not that kind of a deal. It's not a tourist deal. You have to be serious to go over there. But you can get a boat, a ferry, and go over and watch the goats. Now, this lady has been taking care of these goats now for several years. She also has a farm down there, and she's got some of the goats over to her farm. But she loves these goats, and she's been really taking good care of them. And every once in a while, she'll take someone with her. But what she said is she dropped off, here's the name of the goats, Sugar, Grandma Betty, and Uncle Marty. And she says she's got 7 permanent goats over there now, and they never leave. The males are healthy, self-sufficient, and good at keeping the herd away from people. And so that's her problem, keeping these goats and the people separated. And she said she keeps the 17 other members of the herd at her 10-acre farm in Oakhurst.
Oh, wow.
Which she and her husband bought after several of the goat kids mysteriously disappeared last year from the island.
Oh, no.
First, there was one goat. And then there was another goat. And she said, what's happening? In all of her years of caring for these animals, she said she's always known where every goat was and what happened to him. But Sugar's sister, Coco, went missing 2 years ago. Jennifer hiked to the island, and she looked until she found Coco. And Coco was beneath a fallen tree.
Oh!
So she got it back. But this time's different. First one kid went missing. The next week, another one. Gone. The week after that, 2 more disappeared. And she said this continued over the course of 3 months till 9 of her babies were gone. People said they thought the alligators got them.
Oh, no.
She said, but I don't think so. She said, I really don't. So different people suggested different things. So she took those little ones that she had left, took them out to her farm, and she's got them there where nobody can steal her goats. And she said, the crime people down there, they distribute postcards, everything. They put it in the paper about missing on Goat Island. But to this day, she's never found them. She doesn't know what happened to them.
Oh.
I think maybe alligators got them, too.
Oh, no, I hope not. Oh, that's terrible.
Well, I can't really say that people stole them. That's what probably happened.
Well, yeah, it's
they just,
true.
They boated over there and got them because the male goats would protect them. They keep the people away and everything else where they've got a good life. But she's got 3 different types of goats. She's got Kiko, who's Spanish. She's got Nigerian dwarf goats, including 2 little kids. Then she's got Percy and Theo, who trot beside her and bump into her just like little puppies. And their mother abandoned them during a snowstorm last year. So Jennifer bottle-fed them, the abandonment, for 4 months at her house. And Sugar, she tells me, rotates on and off the island all the time. Sugar goes home with her, stays a while, then when she's going back to the island, Sugar gets back on the boat and goes with her. And she tells me that she also has a pet donkey. And Phil, the donkey, lives on the property and protects all the goats.
Wow.
This is such a funny story. And then back on the island, Jennifer's attempting to catch another goat, a diamond, so he can be dewormed. They produce a wooden shepherd stick with a crook, and it's taller than Jennifer, and she hands it over to her, takes a swipe at Diamond, who successfully dodges her because he knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to be dewormed. So he's running around. So the goat stares at her knowingly. After another jab at the hook, Diamond scampers away, and we give up and take a walk around the island.
Oh, my word.
Jennifer said she'd seen armadillos, bunnies, squirrels, and raccoons. Sometimes the deer will come. He'll swim across from the big island over to him. He'll stay and play a while. So it's really quite amazing.
Oh, my
God. Oh, me. Wow. All these goats that she takes care of all the time. It's hilarious. And she said the goats love to munch on everything.
Oh, yeah.
When they come over to the farm, she can sense their caffeine withdrawal.
Oh, goats having caffeine withdrawal. Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. And then this one goat, but head butts her two kids, and just for the fun of it.
Oh, geez.
And then Achilles, while Grandma Betty and Uncle Marty explore their new home. Goat populations are run by a matriarch, and it's always a girl, by the way. It's a woman who ends up being the boss. It's usually the oldest female goat, and she runs the property. And then she said, as we prepare to leave the island, Jennifer takes a moment to sit on the edge of the boats. She said she gets emotional when she leaves Sugar. The goat with her, has been with her all these years.
Oh, gee.
But I thought that was kind of a funny story.
And this is for real?
This is dadgum for real. She goes over there and takes care of the goats and brings some of them home with her. And then if they want to go back, she'll take them back. But she's in charge of all these goats on Goat Island. And they said there's no things to do there except swim, snorkel, you know, things like that. But there's no hotels. They're not inviting anyone to come over there and live. Just the goats get to live there.
Wow.
No people.
So we can't actually, this is not a tourist thing, so we can't go over and like.
It's not a tourist thing. You have to know someone to get on the island.
Wow.
And of course, you know, they've been there for years. There used to be a lot more. But she takes care of them, makes sure they're okay, takes them to the farm and plays with them, and then brings them back.
Now, I don't know much about goats, but I mean, I think I do now, but they seem more like
<That's right>.
People.
They do act like it, don't they? They have their ups and downs. And the mother headbutting the kids. I mean, wow.
Oh, my word. If she opened that as an attraction, I'm sure she could make a ton of money.
I think she could, too. But you've got to have a ferry or a boat to get you over there.
Yeah.
Because there's not any roads out there.
So she loads them up on the boat or the ferry and takes them back and forth to the farm, to the island.
She takes them back and forth, and she loves taking care of them. You know, she takes and she bought the farm just where she could oversee these goats. That's why she bought it.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting life.
Wouldn't it be an interesting life?
Yeah.
You and the goat. And she says she cries when she leaves that one goat over there because that goat's been with her ever since she bought the farm to take care of them.
Wow.
And, I mean, she gets emotional about her goat.
Oh, wow. It's like leaving the family
behind.
Can you
imagine loading those goats in and out of a boat?
Oh, that'd be a handful right there.
It would be a handful.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is your money.
And all of them have names.
I know it.
You know, all of them have names.
And that's the thing that kills me. You know, Sugar, Grandma Betty, Uncle Marty,
yeah.
Phil the donkey.
Achilles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. I mean, she's as funny as the goats are, too.
I'm sure. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And she knows all their names, too. And that's the thing.
Oh, yeah, she knows them quite well.
Wow.
And you saw that she had different goats from different countries.
Yes. Yeah, the different kinds.
I mean, they're not all American goats.
No. Wow.
Can you imagine out there shaping their hooves and their horns and doing all that?
Just doing what goats do.
That's right.
Wow. Goat Island. That's awesome.
It is pretty funny.
Okay. Before we go, I do want to ask you about life settlements and risks. There are two risks that people need to know about. What's the first one?
The first risk is it could go over and you could have to pay premiums. You need to know that. You should know what the premiums are going to run. And they should be way under 2%. Most of ours are under 1%. And some of them, every once in a while, they have paused the premiums. They've got a deal in their policy that says if you become ill, the premiums are forfeited. So we have some of those, not many, but every once in a while we get one that there is no premium, and we love that.
Yeah.
But you should know that if it goes over, you would have to make premium payments. The other thing is your interest is paid at the end when they pass away, and that's the way it works. You get a lump sum at the end. And we also have a trustee that runs everything. We don't take the money in. The money goes to the trustee when you open your account at Nevada Trust, okay?
Okay.
So that's important to know that they oversee it. When your policy matures, Nevada Trust puts the money in your account. So okay. That's a good thing also. Also, you must be accredited.
Oh, yeah.
You must make $200,000 or be worth $1 million without your house. That's a federal requirement, okay?
Okay. I assume you're closed on Monday for Labor Day, right?
I am. It's Labor Day. It's fun day.
Of course, I'm sure you'll still be working in some capacity.
That's right. You have to. You got to do what you got to do.
All right. So aside from Monday, back to business as usual on Tuesday. So if anybody wants to get some more information or get started, they do need to call you. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And there's a lot of good things on that website. People need to read the website.